ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Matt Arazzo and Loopsha Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We are on location here at Matt Arazzo and Loopsha in the scenic New Jersey offices.
Joe, this is going to be your last episode in this office as we're going to be changing spaces.
Really?
Yeah, next week and the week after. Still in the building, but a new office space where I think they do actually have a studio.
I thought, okay, well, fantastic, number one. Number two, I thought you were going to say, in our new Wildwood, New Jersey.
We got one of those, too.
Yeah, so, listen, to be honest with you, if we do the show there, let's do it on a Friday so I can, make a weekend of it. Steve Matarazzo, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Joe. How are you?
I am really good. I'm going to take some shots at, this is one of the shows that we do where I don't get much prep except normally when there's when we have the guest ahead of time. Everybody, our guests are in Philadelphia at the Pennsylvania Hershey Workers' Compensation Conference. And so Matt Arazzo and Loopsha, the premier New Jersey workers' compensation firm, we're doing the show together. I'm going to take a shot at the agenda here. I cannot wait. I literally couldn't wait to get here. And so Steve Loopsha, you wanted to get open up and talk about your Giants. Would you mind, Steve? What he's trying to do right now, Steve Matarazzo, is
take the wind out of everybody's
sails. He's trying to take the wind off
him. No, absolutely not. I will kill the Giants today.
I didn't see the whole game. I only saw
a couple
lucky. Minutes.
You're lucky. I almost shut it off after a minute and a half. I actually, it wasn't on regular cable TV, the Giant game, as anyone that listens knows that I'm a New York sports fan.
Because you're from that area.
Because I'm from that area. I went to a bar to watch the game, sat down, was excited. Within the first minute and a half, when the Giants, I think the first play was a six-yard loss because the quarterback threw it behind the running back.
Yeah.
Then a delay of game. Then an incomplete pass. And that was basically
the first series?
That was the first series. And that, by the way, is after watching our, best player from the past 6 years, Saquon Barkley, run for three touchdowns, I think it was.
Could have been a fourth one.
Caught one and, ran for two others for the Eagles when they were playing over in Brazil.
Imagine if the field wasn't for crap.
That was horrible to watch, by the way. Watching those guys, slip and fall all over that field in Brazil.
But it reminds me of the Super Bowl when we got a couple of years. I mean, the one thing you just, and we're never going to take it for granted again, but I'm never going to take the field for granted again. Saquon, first play of the game, slip. He goes to cut back, falls on his face.
Yeah, no, and I'll let Matarazzo talk about that because you have your own thoughts about them playing in Brazil.
I'm sure Steve's excited about it, wants to get more games going on out there, or maybe not.
We'll talk workers' comp eventually, but I want to say a couple things. I've heard from a lot of clients recently that they listen to the show.
Good.
And that's excellent. I do have an agenda that I never discuss until we get here, and I want to go through the agenda in terms of important issues. I want to start off with we have something going on at the Constitution Center tonight.
Oh, we do. Yes, we do.
And it took you some time to get here this evening. And believe it or not, they had the roads closed over the weekend and this morning. And it took me an hour and 40 minutes to get to the office this morning because I do live in Pennsylvania.
By the way, we're recording this show 2 days before it airs. So people understand.
So we're not going to talk politics because we're not supposed to do that in any venue, even with family members. But it's a couple things. It starts at 9 o'clock, and I'm sure everybody out there like myself works, and I'm going to get to about 9:30, 9:45. I'll probably be watching the Phillies more importantly than I will be watching these two clowns. But in any event, it's disrespectful to working people, honestly, that started at 9 o'clock.
I didn't know it started at 9.
Yeah. That's and incredible. The other issue is, and this is just the facts. I don't understand with this great country that we have that these are the two best clowns slash idiots that we can get. I think, and most people, I think, would think, why isn't a younger person that has fresh ideas and isn't just in the political mess? So that's what I'll say about that. So the next thing that's very important in all my mind as somebody that was born in Philadelphia, lives here, will die here, except for my trips to Key West, is the Sixers. I've had it with the Sixers, and we have tickets to the Sixers for our firm. And what has been going on the last 3 weeks is embarrassing to me. Number one, and I've said this before, we have somebody that owns the team that isn't one of us, lives in New York, takes his helicopter to the games. He owns the Commanders. He owns the Devils. He's not a Philadelphia guy. They want to put a stadium in Chinatown and displace all those people and all those businesses. You can't get into Philadelphia now into Chinatown, let alone having a stadium with 21,000 people. And who the hell is going to get in and out of a parking garage? This is not New York City. New York City is and you know this, Joe, you're born bred here like I am. New York City is a subway train commuter type of, we're not. We have never been that way, this city. So
and in New York, Madison Square Garden is attached to Penn Station.
Exactly. So, and I think it's disrespectful to the people of Chinatown, what they're doing. I also think that the whole, you know, the dog and pony show that they're now playing with New Jersey, that governor, what's the guy's name in Jersey?
Murphy.
He's going to give them, you know, $800 million in tax credits. Well, here's my question with respect to that. And I said this to my partner the other day. If he's going to give $800 million of tax credits to a bunch of billionaires, why isn't he doing something for Camden, for the people that live in Camden, or the people that live in Newark, or the people that live in Trenton? We shouldn't be giving tax dollars to billionaires to build a stadium. And if the owner of the Sixers wants to hold Philadelphia hostage, as I said on a text chain with my partner and some other guys, he can take his carpetbagger show and get the hell out of my city. Next topic is Aaron Nola. I have been saying this from day one. He is the most overrated pitcher in the major leagues. He has a good strikeout count. I'll give him that. But he gives up home runs like I've never seen before. And I am going to tell you this. This Phillies playoff run is going to live and die with Aaron Nola. Because we know Wheeler's going to pitch well. We know Ranger's going to pitch well. Sanchez is pitching great. The guy from the Mets that we signed, he's a stiff. Okay, for $18 million.
Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, he's a stiff. Okay, but the whole season is going to rise and fall on Aaron Nola because he's that second guy when he really isn't a second guy. And I'm very concerned because he's overrated. I didn't want to sign him. I think he's soft. I don't think he's tough like Allen Iverson. I think Embiid's soft. I think Jalen Hurts is tough. And I think we're going to have a problem in the playoffs. I will say that we got to be a little careful. There's somebody in our rearview mirror, and it's Mr. Loopser's New York Mets, the Metropolitans.
So let me comment on that real quick, on the Mets. As a Giant fan that gave up on the season after the first drive, it's good to have a pennant chase. Baseball is a matter of getting hot at the right time. Right,
it's a marathon and a sprint.
It's a marathon and a sprint. That's exactly right. Last year, if I recall correctly, the pitching for the Phillies wasn't the issue. It was the hitting.
Well, we have it.
Against Arizona, at least, if I recall.
Well,
that was the relief pitcher, that lunatic that we shipped down to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. So, let me, you know, what you're talking about here. First of all, The Mets are coming on strong. The Braves have a fantastic team. They're just not winning. And they lost some guys.
Yeah, and they're injured. They lost a pitcher. They lost Acuna.
And a third baseman.
But they're still the Braves.
They're still the Braves. And you know, we beat them 2-1. And damn, we were holding on for all. But we can't beat the Marlins. And that's where you're talking about, Noah.
Well, let me put something in Matarazzo's wheelhouse. Last night, I see Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. Right? You know, the
heart and soul of Philadelphia now. Right. And, you know, Philly's boy, hard knows this, that, the other.
Yeah.
I see him hit a shot.
Dogging it.
I see him watch his shot. I see it hit the wall, and I see him end up on first base.
Right.
Yeah, that was bad.
Well, okay, so can I comment on it?
It's your show, dog.
Okay, well, it's your show. I'm just a moderator. But I'll tell you, so there's a lot. You just set the table for the next week of Sports Talk Radio, right? Harper last night. So Harper's hurt. We all know that, right? He's hitting 385 while he's hurt, so we're playing small ball. So he was way off. He was no excuse what he did. I think he got a little too excited, like he hit a home run. He wanted to watch his ball go out because it's been so long since he hit a damn home run. No excuse, no question about it. I'll jump on the Giants situation. First of all, it is preseason right now. For starters, we got 3 games before these teams even have a clue at what's going on. I get it. Daniel Jones, there's issues there, right?
Well, I'm going to let you go on, but I'm not one to beat up my team, right? I'm a huge sports fan, but I'm not a super emotional sports fan. Daniel Jones, there's some issues, you said. Daniel Jones has been here for 6 years.
He's stiff.
Daniel Jones is not an NFL quarterback. He had one good year, that was 2022, which, you know, he won the road playoff game, which resulted in him getting a $140 million deal, which, by the way, is, you know, middle of the pack for NFL quarterbacks. It's not like he's not a middle of the pack NFL quarterback.
These salaries, by the way, with these quarterbacks are just so ridiculous. Well, go ahead.
But he is watching that game, and I did end up watching the game. You know, he does not know how to read a defense. He doesn't know how to throw it to, you know, if there's a guy blitzing, he doesn't know the hot route. You know, he puts his offensive line in a bad situation because he just can't get rid of the ball when he should. If you watched Hard Knocks over the...
Of course I did.
Over the summer.
I didn't watch every show, but I watched some.
No, but you and I, we talked about this, Joe, where, you know, they really went into the nitty-gritty in the background of the Giants' offseason. It was obvious between the coach and general manager that Daniel Jones wasn't the guy, that they wanted to trade up for a quarterback.
Right.
They also wanted, you know, they didn't really value Saquon at the level that other teams did, and that was obvious too.
He's been getting hurt.
Memo to the Giants, do me a favor. Next time you are going to cut your best player or not re-sign
your best
player.
Don't video your conversation.
And he's going to go to your rival in competition and score 3 touchdowns in the first game. Yeah, don't put that on HBO. Right?
I said that. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my God.
But as a Giant fan, for the last 6 years, they opened up at home. The last 6 years, they've lost the home opener. Last year was Dallas, 40-0. This year, it's Minnesota, 28-6. Minnesota, who has Sam Darnold as their quarterback, who was run out of New York with the Jets. It's just, for someone that looks forward to football season, for their season to essentially be over after game one, year after year after year.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'm frustrated.
So other, you know, I love to talk about current things going on because I think it's important than just talking about the law. I think we're human beings and we experience these things every day. And I'll be careful about how I address this issue. Yeah, but
boy. First of all, if you are, it'll be the first time.
That's true, Jeff.
We're on a tape delay, right? So, you got that edit button.
So I'm in the office as I am always 7 days a week, and when I'm out of town, I'm still working 7 days a week. But
right.
I'm in the office, and I've got my TV on, and I watch the NFL Network because I like those guys because they really know the game.
Sure.
And I text my boy here, Loopshire, that there's a video of Tyreek Hill getting pulled over all the craziness. Now, yeah. I'll be careful how I address it, but I this is kind of like a funny. My cell phone started blowing up because everybody's in a fantasy league, and everybody was worried that he wasn't going to be able to play the game.
Listen,
which was hilarious.
Before you say another word.
I was one of those guys, by the way.
I was just saying to your associate here, I'm talking about one of your attorneys before they left.
The young lady that left.
Young lady.
Victoria Gomez.
Yes, Victoria Gomez. So we're talking, and we brought that up, and I can't believe you just said it. I'm in a family fantasy football league, right? My wife's side. And we're always getting like the seventh pick. My son, he's really good at that stuff, so he picks the team. We always do pretty good, right? Anyway, finally this year we got the number two pick, right? And he calls me. He's like, we got Tyreek, okay? I'm like, oh, my God, right? And I get up. You know, I'm doing some work. I come upstairs. My wife's got the TV on, and it's him on the ground on the video. I'm like, tell me this is from 10 years ago. This is our number one pick. And then I'm like, he must have killed somebody, because why would you be laying on the ground for a driving violation? Well, thank God it worked out. But
the interesting thing was, and we didn't really know, I still don't know fully what happened, but the interesting thing was then his moron agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is that his name? Whatever. He gets on the NFL Network.
ESPN he was on.
And ESPN. He was on all of them. And it's, woe is my guy Tyreek, woe is my guy Tyreek, when he doesn't even know what really happened.
Right.
And I don't know all the details yet, but, somebody said to me today that he was driving 140 miles an hour in a McLaren.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but.
I think at the Miami-Dade police recently released a report that said he was going 60 miles an hour.
I can't imagine it. 60 to 20 miles an hour.
Not in a McLaren. I don't think it does 60. I think it only does 160. I have to be cynical in my own way. My only thing is, listen, they got to do what they got to do.
I mean, you're throwing a world-renowned figure one way or the other on the ground.
Yeah, well, I want to ask.
I'm wondering if that's
there. And I saw the video. Hang on, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm asking a question.
Did you see the body cam footage?
No, I did not.
I would take a look at that.
Yeah.
And make your own judgments. I don't want to make any judgments.
I would love to have that kind of presence, though. And I don't go to Miami. I'm 57 years old, so I'm like an old man. I don't go to Miami for that spring break week when they have all this craziness going on. People are shooting each
You're
other.
You're 57. That means you were a freshman when I was a senior.
Okay.
That's how old I am.
But I would love to see that presence during that crazy week in Miami where their girls are taking off their clothes and people are shooting each other and jumping on cars. And would love to see that kind of security police presence in Miami.
I used to go to Miami on spring break because I went to Florida for college. This was 20-something years ago now. I think that spring break in Miami then was a lot different than it is now. Spring break in and of itself.
So you're saying that kind of security would, when you have those crazy, episodes and doing those spring break things would be something that would be a positive thing. The other thing, but I mean, I was surprised. I know no facts. Okay. And there's video everywhere. You throw, and I'm not criticizing the police or Tyreek because I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. But it's just that, I thought when I saw him on the ground, I thought he must have done something like killed somebody. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would the number one receiver in the NFL in public be on his face in handcuffs when the police know, there's video everywhere? Now, I heard one of them suspended, but I mean,
apparently, from what I read last night, that he acted like Snow White, allegedly, when he was interviewed after the game. But there was what I read this morning was he the policeman knocked on his window,
and he had to, right.
And he refused to, like, he refused to, like, roll down the window, and then he wanted to put the window up.
I'm gonna send you the body cam footage that came out last night.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
I'll let you watch that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So that brings me, we're doing all world topics,
sure.
Which is super important, not, you know, besides workers' comp. I think we need to discuss these issues. And I'm not really a political guy. I don't, as I tell Mr. Lutcher, I stay out of politics. I just think it's a nasty business.
It is.
And I don't know anything about guns in my entire life. I'm a peaceful person.
Listen,
except for when I'm in court.
The only thing I know about guns are right here. I'm making a muscle for people.
but I think we had another school shooting this week or last week.
Last week.
And I think whoever changed the law to allow the parents to get prosecuted was a genius, because this father gave his son a gun. Like a real gun.
AR-15.
I mean, that's like, what 12 or 14-year-old needs an AR-15?
Incredible.
And I think that he gave it to him after the kid made mention. You know what? I honestly don't want to comment because I don't know. But I do think that there was some sort of
circumstances that were suspicious.
Well, I think that he gifted the gun after the kid already made mention of possibly doing something along the lines of what he ended up doing.
Oh, my God.
Well, then the next question that you have to ask, if it's accurate, is the mother apparently called the school 30 minutes before anything happened, and nobody got back to her. I don't know. You know, I said this today when I was on the way in to a colleague of mine.
Tragic.
We have a great country. And I just don't understand. And again, the two clowns in our city tonight are a perfect example. I don't understand why we can't get along. We can disagree. But we're a great country.
Well, we've been polarized by politics.
And we've been polarized by politics. And I think things are out of whack. I think Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. But for him to get that kind of money,
ridiculous.
And the money that Patrick Mahomes is going to get, well, you know, and we represent police officers and corrections officers and firemen, and I'm not saying a fireman or a police officer or a correction officer should get, you know, $350 million. But our salaries are all out of whack in this country. You have people that are police officers, and I'm very supportive of them, that or a corrections officer, that can lose their life for a fireman any day.
Yep.
And we got sports athletes making this kind of money.
Yeah.
And the thing that it just doesn't make sense to me, unless you're a corporate business like Mr. Lupcher and I, or you're independently wealthy, the average guy can't go to any of these games. The Phillies are actually affordable, okay? You're paying $40 to park, okay? Yeah. If you need to get your kids something to eat, or you want to get – it's going to cost you $150 for food.
Oh, yeah.
And then the tickets, I think it's all out of whack.
And then if you're a Giant fan, the product that they put out on the field.
Well, what's interesting. So you're getting into a lot of stuff, and it's really great stuff because, you know, even though I'm a union guy, okay, and I'm a capitalist, I'm a business person. I believe if you can work hard, and the American dream is possible for everybody. However. When you talk about quarterbacks and a lot of salaries just in general, okay, and I do not hold anything against anybody, for getting representation and all those things and getting paid, but you look at what the quarterbacks are making now, okay. What's crazy about that is how can they pay a quarterback that much money? How else can they pay anybody else?
Right,
and a running back. First of all, as a running back, former running back and a running back coach, I just unbelievable. The game has changed. But here's something, Steve, that I'll jump on when it comes to that. Used to be that you would talk to somebody okay? And, you know, well, everybody should get a piece of the pie, right? And, you know, like the players, and I'm a union guy, so, you know, we collect the bargaining and all those things. However, okay, now, you know, when you see they're pushing gambling like it's going out of style. So you can bet in the ninth inning what Bryce Harper's going to do. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be, you go up, my grandfather used to run the numbers. He's gone now, so no one cares. But, you know, my point is he would run, you know, you wanted to bet on the game, you bet on the game. Well, you had the pools, you bet on. But you weren't, my grandfather wasn't calling up and saying, it's the second inning. Right. What do you want to bet on now? Right. Third, they want to bleed everybody. But let's just take it another shot, Steve. Okay, because, you know, like they can't. So all this money in the game now, right? Mm-hmm. They got the girl coming on talking to him. I turn it down, okay? And I'm no saint in the city, but the fact of the matter is that they might as well sell cocaine. And I'll tell you why. It's addicting, number one. I'm talking about gambling. But
gambling.
They give you the first one for free.
Right.
Or the second, too.
Or the second.
Well,
so
there's
college kids watching, high school kids watching, right. And they're bleeding people to death.
Right. And, you know, and like you said, you're not just gambling on a game. I was watching the MLB Network the other night, and they have this thing called The Big Inning. It's the name of the show, and they have, you know, the four different screens for, you know, the four different baseball games, you know, on the one screen. So, you know, on the top left corner, you could have, you know, the Phillies versus whoever, the Marlins, you know, the top right corner, you have the Braves, Mets, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, in the bottom left corner, they had, and it was the ninth inning, they had the line as it was changing, like you said, you know, to bet from, I guess, DraftKings or FanDuel or one of them, the new line for the ninth inning to bet. Not only that, you have these parlays, right, where it's you could bet, you know, six different things. Okay, Saquon Barkley over under 65 yards. Couple that with Daniel Jones over under 7 interceptions.
Saquon Barkley, who does he play for?
Right, exactly. No, but you're right. You're right.
Does the NFL get any of that gambling money?
Steve brought this up in the very beginning, which is very important. Roger Goodell is one of the biggest scumbags on the planet, okay? How is he helping the city of Philadelphia
by sending us
to Brazil? And how is he helping the players? They had an article in all of our, I don't read newspapers, I read it on the phone, that they told Jalen Hurts he shouldn't go out because it's mm-hmm. too dangerous. How's that helping the players?
On top of the fact, if you watch the game, like we were talking about before, the field.
It was horrific.
It was a mess.
Horrific.
Oh, my God. Another disastrous field.
Right. And he's not doing any good for the game. And it's just, so we're talking about public issues. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You know, just to kind of piggyback on the gambling versus, you know, certain other things. You know, the opening game of the season was last Thursday, and that was Kansas City versus the Ravens. The top wide receiver for Kansas City, this kid Rashee Rice, he was involved over the summer in a hit and run, charged with different felonies, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, that's still pending, and that's still outstanding.
That was the guy who scored the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it was not yet, it's not yet been adjudicated, so he's okay to play, right? And then you have guys that bet on the sport, right? Calvin Ridley, who was suspended for a whole season for gambling. How does that jive when you are promoting gambling, right, but you're going to suspend a player for gambling for the entire season? Then you have this other guy, you know, involved in this hit and run where he injured people. It's caught on video that he's actually, I think, running down the highway. And because that hasn't yet been adjudicated, he's okay to play the first game.
All right. Well, it's
hypocritical.
I'll tell you why they do it. Because
money.
The integrity of the game is, in other words, when you gamble,
then
if somebody commits a crime, that person, you know, he's obviously, you know, his own issues are at hand, but it doesn't impact the integrity of the game. Gambling will be something that, you know, people realize they're not watching something. It's like watching wrestling at that point, mm-hmm. and then they're in danger of losing it. That's why they do it. But does it make sense? Okay, I mean, Pete Rose. That's all, you know, look at what's going on. What really kills me is with the gambling guys. And, you know, as business people, we can do our own numbers and see when, you know, what the statistics are, how we're doing here, we're doing there. Well, they do too. They know what the percentages are going to be. The house always wins, right? And yet they still do it in all those things. It's already a given that the house is going to win, or there wouldn't be gambling. So the fact is, they know they're going to win, and they're still sucking people dry like it's going out of style. To me, it's one of the moral. I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm not a saint in the city, but I just think that you can't control agents, okay? And ultimately speaking, you know, so, you know, the NFL can't police itself, NBA, you know, all these teams. I get it. The owners are making all the money, and I think there should be a union, and the players should, and there should be free agency and all those things, no question. However, okay, you have to remember one thing about owners, and you guys know this. How many employees you guys got?
Say 15, 16, 17.
15, 16, 17.
It grows daily.
Okay. Okay. Who, by the way, just a simple question. Who gets paid last if you have a bad week?
The owners.
Steve and I.
By the way, whose name is on the lease here if something goes down?
Steve and I. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So my point is, I think that the players – should definitely get paid or should be collected. But you should not be raped by agents walking in saying they want $300 million for a quarter. Now, selfishly speaking, now you can't get that wide receiver. You can only pay a few guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're at a mercy. But these contracts are so nuts. And, like you said, families can't go to games. Tell you what. Pay them $5 billion a year. Pay them $10 billion. But don't raise the ticket prices for the family, the middle-class family, or the lower-class family who will never see a game.
And the Sixers owner is famous for raising all these tickets.
How about that? Yeah, what about Apple?
They all are. And let me tell you, you know, just because, you know, we're talking about this, and we're talking about the average family that can't go to the game. So let's talk about the Giant game again. You know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the game, but the Giants fans, in my opinion, and I
probably spend the most money.
Well, they spend a lot of money, you know, and because it's New York and, you know, it is what it is. But this is what people, you know, blue-collar America loves their football, right? And they're going to the game, and they're getting the crap product put out there. And because of that crap product, they're booing, right? These people have the right to boo. I'm not a booer. But I don't begrudge people for booing. You then,
that's
you know,
your one of your only tools.
What's that? Yeah,
one of your only tools.
No, right. You're average middle class America spending $1,000 for four tickets to go, or for two tickets, you know, given parking, food, everything that Steve brought up earlier, to go to the game. It's ridiculous, you know. And the players are going to get on their high horse and say, you know, well, we don't respect the fans, you know, for booing. You know, it's only a rough patch and this, that, and the other. And I get that, too. They're people, you know, but with the way that things are going currently with the prices, and again, I'm not getting into politics, you know, but life is expensive, man.
The other thing, so to caveat on that, I want to reach out to everybody that is listening to me at this point, and I want to tell a quick little story. During COVID, our government decided to bail out the airlines, which I completely disagree with, okay? So I'm flying back to Philly not too long ago, and it's in the summer, so, you know, they're gouging me and my family, the American Airlines, and we get delayed 3 hours in Key West. We fly into Philly. We sit on the tarmac for an hour and 45 minutes. We get to the gate. We get off the plane. Waiting for baggage for 5 hours. Then, hundreds of flights there. All these people waiting for their bags. 5-6 hours.
Wow.
We flew into A terminal. We find out that our bags are down at C terminal. Now, if you're from Philadelphia, anybody, you got to walk outside the airport.
Yep.
You got to walk all the way down to the C terminal to get your bags. Okay? So I heard on KYW the other day that the airlines are crying now because the summer's over and everybody's back in school and they can't gouge us now because, and they're crying. I think this airline issue is one of the most offensive things that we have to deal with as the public. They are a monopoly. They give you, I get on these planes and I say, this is worse than traveling SEPTA. At least SEPTA's on time. And the SEPTA bus drivers are polite. The people that work there, they're not polite. Okay? I'm doing them a favor. Okay? By paying them. And they act like holier than thou. So as a person, a public, I'm a person. This airline is, they're criminals. The whole airline industry. And I think, you know, politics, because we have politics right up the road tonight. I really think, you know, we need politicians to help people. And that includes, you know, our roads. We've talked about, you know, I-95 and the pothole mess that it is. Trash pickup in Philadelphia. When it snows, these poor people in South Philadelphia can't get plowed out. Well, they're paying taxes. It's the same thing. You're paying $1,500 for an airline ticket, and they're screwing you.
I'm going to throw something else in there. Our houses are getting in Philby. We're getting, they're getting appraised every year. They're getting, you know, they're doing tax assessments every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. It's like it's going up. It's just crazy, man.
But then they'll give $800 million to the Sixers to go to Camden. How about giving that money to school children to get books?
Right. So let me tell you. You know, we're actually my wife and I. We went into Philadelphia on Saturday. It was raining on Saturday. Anyone that's going into Philadelphia from Camden County knows that if you're going on the Ben Franklin Expressway, you got to take the Admiral Wilson. Anybody knows that when it's raining,
it floods.
The Admiral Wilson floods. How are my wife says to me, okay, they're talking about building the Sixers, you know, arena in Camden where the jail was. How they can't even take care of the Admiral Wilson? And I've been, you know, living in this area now since 2004 for 20 years, you know, 15, no, 17 in Philadelphia, then, you know, the past few over here in Jersey. And this has been an issue for since I've been here, you know, flooding the roads. I mean, at Route 70, Joe, you've been coming now to our office for, you know, a couple of years. This Route 70
is a disgrace.
I mean, the amount of construction that they've been doing for now the past 4 years has been an absolute
mess. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never understood this. As an attorney also, you hit a pothole, whether you hit a pothole in Philadelphia or you hit a pothole out in Newtown Square where I live, Pennsylvania, or you hit a pothole in Jersey. So you hit the pothole, you blow your tire out, you blow the rim out, and now you're at the place and you're spending $1,000 to fix your car. And the pothole's sitting there in Philly, as we know, they'll sit there for a year, two years, 3 years. And you hit the pothole because it's dark out and you don't see it, okay? And you can't do anything about it. All you got to do is stick your hand in your pocket, and you got to pay. Why should the government be immune to that? They have a responsibility to us, just like we have a responsibility to our clients, to fix the damn pothole. We pay taxes. They fix my. You drive near that. You drive down. You go over to Platte Bridge. So every morning I'm coming over to Platte Bridge because I'm coming in from the Philly suburbs. And I come down to Platte Bridge, and they got that beautiful Wawa right there. Yeah. And they got that new Chick-fil-A right there. And they got potholes all over the goddamn place.
Yeah.
Okay? Fix them. Help the public.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, listen, I actually, Steve, you know what? I got the warranty, the tire warranty.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I'm not to eat. But I will tell you, I think about that all the time because it's not just because it's dark, by the way. There's always like some kind of lump or something like that, and you don't see the pothole. Mm-hmm. And I hit the same one all the time. But it's funny you should mention it. In fact, you got me thinking now because I on Ridge Avenue near my house in East Falls, I have there's several of these potholes, and man, it goes right through me every time I hit them. And so
you feel right in your teeth.
But I'm going to get my tax assessment, man.
Yeah,
so exactly. And that's what's important. Real quick, before I know we only got 20 minutes left, but you didn't comment on I mean, in depth in regards to the Eagles.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you why. Number one, it was in Brazil, and it took all the stuffing out of it for me as a Philadelphia fan.
It did.
Number two, it started at 8:15 at night, which is pathetic. Number three, the Phillies were on at the same exact time, and I'm more interested in the Phillies than I am in the Eagles right now. I think that it was a preseason game. I agree with you.
100%.
I also think that the Eagles are way overrated. I don't think they're as good as everybody thinks. And I think, you know, again, I'm probably going to piss you off now, Joe. But, you know, I'm a huge sports guy. And you cannot listen to a certain sports radio show in this city anymore. It's the dominant show in the city. They have clowns on the radio, as I call them. They have it's yin and yang. It's like Stephen A. Smith against that other idiot that used to live in Dallas,
Skip Bayless.
They have two guys on this show, WIP, where they it's yin and yang. They scream at each other. They lie to the public. So I can't listen to sports radio anymore because they're not objective at all in this city. I think the Eagles are really overrated. If you asked any of those people over there that talk on the radio, I think we do a better job actually being honest about sports than they do over there. I think, you know, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl every year if you ask those idiots.
Well, think about this for a second, because we have the one thing that the Eagles have that the Giants don't have. We have four Super Bowl wins. The Giants only have one. And, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the other way around.
Oh, think, it's right? The other way around.
No, but as, you know, just to comment on the Eagles, because I'll comment on them. Objectively, I hate the Eagles. With that being said, they have weapons all
defense
over the field.
Defense is suspect,
well,
my friend.
At the beginning of the game, it looked good, though.
Well, you know, and we'll see. You know, like Joe said, you know, it's preseason, and who knows who's good now? The NFL is such a, you know, the NFL, a different team is good every year. But
speaking
watching
of that guy, Aaron Rodgers, he's kooky. Yeah. He's a freak.
Well, let me just finish on this. You know, with the you know, watching Daniel Jones throw to a bunch of guys that wouldn't make the Eagles practice squad, although this year they got Malik Nabers. Having A.J. Brown, having Devontae Smith, having Saquon Barkley, Jahan Dotson, Goddard, you know, with that offensive line, I mean, that's a squad. I think that, you know, I don't know that they're
you
so
know,
overrated,
you know,
when, and I hate them.
But let me say this. The NFL, the one thing that is not overrated about just the NFL is that these players are assassins, man. Like mm-hmm. That's why running backs...
They're so good.
Oh, that why running backs get 5-6 years. Back when, don't get me wrong, Jim Brown could be playing right now if he was in his prime. Yeah. He'd probably all pro. But, one of the reasons why running backs don't, you know, probably the game has changed in that area is, these players are so fantastic, athletic-wise. You get so beat up, okay, that you can't last more than 6 years. And so, you know, like
their shelf life is really,
it's unbelievable.
Well,
so,
you know, and a lot of these good running backs too are getting, you know, 600 carries over 3 years in college too.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, by the time they get to the NFL, they're already beat up.
Yeah. And so my thought process, you know, and Jalen Hurts to me, the school's out on him, at least for, you know, like in other words, again, you know, he looked like he's staring into the wild blue yonder, right? Like for a while, like he doesn't go on the don't get me wrong, I am a fan. And 2 years ago, man, I was, you know, but my point is, we got to see where he goes, where his head's at this year, because last year it seemed like he was in a daze the entire year. He would go on the bench after a bad series and not be looking at the computer. I mean, so there's a lot going on. And what I was going to say is this, especially in Philadelphia sports, right? My wife is one of the biggest Phillies fans on the planet, right? But if you think about this, Steve Matarazzo, and Steve Lubscher, but think about this is more of a Phillies thing, okay? The Phillies history, we started in 1882 or something like that, and we've won two World Series. And that we didn't even win before there was a World Series in our lifetime. We somehow got through it, right? I mean, if I will tell you this, if there was one, but I'm going to ask both of you, right? Mm-hmm. So we somehow, and the one Super Bowl, I needed that for my everything, right? But if there was one moment in your sports life, okay, the most painful moment in your, you know, like, you know, when it comes to Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, you know, Phillies, okay, and the Mets and the Yankees and the Knicks, right? Let's go around the horn on that. The most painful moment in your fandom life. Steve Matarazzo, I got mine. It's, you know.
Wow, that's a great question.
I haven't been asked that question. I don't know
offhand. I'm first a Phillies fan before I anything else.
You're going to say what I just go ahead.
And I don't think I'm going to say what you're going to say. I have to say that last year.
That was painful.
When that moron closer that we all know was shot in August blew those games in Arizona because I really thought the Phillies were going to the World Series. I still think they should have gone. The other one is when Alex Rodriguez against the Mets, when we were in the World Series, we were at home, and he hit a home run.
Yankees.
He hit a home run off, believe, Cole Hamels, if I'm correct, and it hit the TV camera in the outfield. That was crushing to me.
Okay. Steve?
I'm going to go with the Knicks, because I think of all my sports teams, I think that I'm a Knicks fan first. And they ran into such a roadblock every single year with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Well, the one year, I don't know if it was one or two of the years that Michael Jordan was retired, which was 1994.
Right.
They end up making the NBA Finals against Houston.
Yeah.
They're up, I want to say, 3-2. Houston ends up coming back, beating them in the Garden in Game 6 to tie it up 3-3. Then in Houston, Game 7, John Starks, who I loved and, you know, was just the heart and soul of that team, you know, and I loved him. He shot, I think, 2-for-17 in Game 7, and the Rockets ended up winning. Michael Jordan comes back. That's the one team that I've never seen win a world championship, you know, in my lifetime.
You know who made me hate the Knicks? Who makes me hate the Knicks was Spike Lee. Who makes me hate the Cowboys are the locals in Philly that have never been to Dallas
fans
in their entire life, and they're Cowboy fans.
So,
what's your moment?
Let's listen to Joe's.
I have a run into Joe Carter. I swear.
Mitch Williams.
Yeah.
I don't even blame Mitch. I'll tell you why. Watch the video. The pitch before, and we had
that
all
was
the
a strike. Right.
No, the pitch before it was a crappy inside. He threw the same crappy pitch.
He was shot, too.
Right? He threw the same crappy pitch. Carter swings. He should have never swung at that ridiculous pitch. It was a ball. Both of them were balls. And he swung. He hit that ball. And the thing was, we had the momentum. We had them. We had, like, it was ours. I'm telling you, I was at my psychiatrist the other day. And
talking about Joe Carter still?
Well, he said to me, he said,
get over it. It's, what is it, 1993, 31 years ago?
He said, I'm making progress, and in another 15 years, he can see a breakthrough happen. I have a run into Joe Carter. That was
brutal.
Oh, my God. Now, you can go around your sports life. Our first Super Bowl, 1980, that was, right away,
Raiders.
We lost that game.
Raiders.
They beat the crap. I mean, like, that game was over before it started. That was one of the letdowns, okay? But I'd say before we won the Super Bowl, you know, I had my favorite, you know, like my favorite sports, my Eagles moment. Okay, take a shot at it there, Steve.
Oh, my Lord, the miracle at the Meadowlands. Are you kidding me?
Number two.
Herm Edwards or DeSean Jackson.
The thing about that, oh, don't get me wrong, you know, like, but I never really disliked the Giants. I never did because they before there was free agency, we both stunk. Like Dallas had the team, Washington and Dallas, and we just and the Cardinals were in our division. Remember, like I never disliked the Giants. I never liked them, but when I right now, like when I love watching, you know, with the NFL films, I love watching LTs all the time. I love one of my favorite coaches of all time, Bill Parcells. I love it when he yells at when he yells at
Phil Sims.
So as a segue, since you just hit on it,
I got about 6 or 5 minutes.
All right, no, this is important. As a segue,
you're a fun show.
Oh my God.
To everybody out there with workers' compensation, I see us as the Allen Iverson, the Lawrence Taylor, the Brett Favre, the Bryce Harper, except for his running last night.
Woo!
That
what was that about?
That shows up every day
and
has got our game face on. And we
Matarazzo and Lube, sure, the law firm.
Yes, and we talk about all these issues in the beginning of the show, well, most of the show today, because they're important public issues. But we're normal people. When you get us as your attorneys, you don't get pulled off to somebody else. You get me. You get the little crazy midget that goes into court and raises living hell. And we're very passionate about what we do. We're very passionate about helping people. And there's a lot of law firms out there. There's the internet out there. And you got to be really careful who you choose to represent you. Number one, in our world of workers' comp, we're like brain surgeons. If you're not doing this 24/7, I've been doing it over 30
no
years
dabbers.
Now, you're going to have a problem. Then the second issue, and I'm just being honest, a lot of the lawyers that I see on a daily basis on virtual court, because we have virtual court, don't know their files, don't know their clients. The judges will ask questions and they can't answer them because they don't know their clients. They haven't dug in. We dig in, and we will do our very best for you. You get my best whether I like you or dislike you. And even the people that I don't like because they're nasty to me, I even work even harder for them. And we have, I'm going to be honest, we have the respect of our adversaries. We have the respect of the judges. And I'm going to tell you a little story that was told to Mr. Lubcher and I. The insurance companies have 60 days to issue the check to the injured worker when their case settles, and they have 60 days to issue the check to Matarazzo Lubcher. And the claims adjusters delay the checks to Matarazzo Lubcher because we fight too hard for our clients. We were told that by insurance defense lawyers, people that are our adversaries. Mm-hmm. So people out there, when you get us, you get people that are going to fight for you. Period.
Steve Lubcher, if you
know, there's nothing better that I could have said than, you know, what Steve said right now. I may have chosen a different athlete, you know, other than Bryce Harper or Brett Favre, but I agree with what Steve said, you know, and it's very important that you choose the right attorneys, you know, that, and this is what we do, you know, we eat, sleep, and breathe it, you know, aside from this hour, you know, when we're having fun with you, Joe, but it is important, and like Steve said, when Steve said we're like brain surgeons, you know, what he means is that you wouldn't go. If you have a shoulder injury, you're not going to go to a brain surgeon. You're going to go to a shoulder specialist. So when you have a workers' compensation case, don't go to a general practitioner that practices workers' compensation, bankruptcy, family law,
wills and
personal
estates.
Injury, wills and estates, you know.
Well, I've heard outstanding lawyers in other specialties say to me, I tried dabbling in workers' comp.
They don't want to get involved.
They immediately said, I had to get the hell out of that.
It's too specialized. It's too specialized. We have, you know, our own separate court, our own separate system. There's no jury.
And by the way, I did not have hope for Jersey workers' compensation until I met you two. Like, I didn't think there was
a chance. We don't have pain and suffering in workers' compensation, but we have a compensation system in terms of medical time out of work. And the settlement at the end of the case, it is not based upon pain and suffering. It's based upon the diagnosis. So to make this simple, if I have a partial rotator cuff tear and you have a full tear, then the court finds that that the settlement that you would receive it would be greater than mine.
So having said that, Matarazzo and Lubcher, the premier workers' compensation firm in New Jersey, Steve Matarazzo, contact information.
Cell phone number 609-432-466. Excuse me, 432-4668. And I have to say, let's go Phillies.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll just add our office number also is 856-843-8403, where you could find us online at mlworkerscomplaw.com.
Fantastic. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Matarazzo and Lupcher show here on WWDB Talk 86. I want to thank Steve Matarazzo and Steve Lupcher. You guys are awesome. I mean, just a great hour. If you're injured on the job in New Jersey, contact New Jersey's premier workers' compensation firm, Matarazzo and Lupcher. On behalf of Steve and Steve and the boss, Michelle, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.